Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
But, like, we just went in there one time, and it was, like, in December, and it was a party, and he's in there with his girlfriend making gingerbread houses. And, dude, when one person found out, it was the DJ stopped the music. They're like, yo, get the fuck to the study room.
You guys gotta see this shit. It's fucking gingerbread houses!
Welcome to the Kevin Clancy Show. I've been in this game over a decade, and I knew I needed a place where I could run wild on my own solo podcast, where I tell personal stories, I deep dive into conspiracy theories, we rip through the current events of the day, and we do sit-down conversations with the most interesting people on the internet. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode. What's up, you mutts? It's the Kevin Clancy Show, Spike Tour, Phase 3, Episode 4, featuring Trevor Wallace. Very funny dude that I've become friends with. Stand-up comedy, stand-up comic, big internet personality, and now on a 27-city tour doing stand-up. One of the funniest guys out there, and one of those dudes who I think, you know, here at Barstool, we get typecast, and we get stereotyped, and we're the frat boys, and we're the bros, and people judge us and guys like Trevor, like, right away without ever giving them a shot. And so an interview like this is important for, I think, a guy like Trevor Wallace or anybody at Barstool, where it's like, actually listen to their story, learn how hard they worked and fought to where they've gotten, like, hear their funny stories, hear their interesting come up and what makes them unique, and not just, you know, paint everybody with the same goddamn brush. So a funny dude who has a great story about parlaying his fraternity bros into stage time to grow as a comic and then get big on Vine and put the two all together. A very interesting interview here on the Spike Tour, booked by yours truly, because nobody's booking for me, motherfuckers. So we'll get into Trevor Wallace, but first, as always, I got my bones to pick. Bones to pick today are brought to you by 3Chi.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
My bones to pick. We will begin with Melanie. Melanie who? I don't know her last name. Her name is Melanie. The girl who broke up with Will Smith when he was a young man. Will Smith has a new memoir coming out, a book called Will. And in it, it's actually, the excerpts I read about it, it actually seems like a book really worth reading. Like a deep, sometimes dark book. He talks about how his dad used to abuse his mother, like right in front of him, like watched him like bang her skull and she was spitting out blood, knocked unconscious. But when he was sober, he was a good father, so he was there at every event and every game and every premiere and every studio as he was growing up, but was also this, like, horrible drunk and this violent man. So, like, some really, like, you know, intense stuff. And in it, he then talks about his relationship with Jada Pinkett. Fuck Jada Pinkett, too. Melanie and Jada, both these bitches can get a bone to pick on the Kevin Clancy Show, because Jada Pinkett is just the worst fucking... She's so awful to Will Smith. It's crazy. And I know they have some weird agreement, and I know it's like some sort of strange poly open marriage, but she's clearly like the driver here. He, like, I think if you asked Will Smith, he would just be like, I'd rather just be like married in a normal fucking relationship. But hey, like, Jada Pinkett wants to fuck like young R&B stars, so I guess I'll go fuck some people too. But I don't really like it, and I wish it wasn't this way, but if you're gonna twist my arm, I'll fuck some people too. But I think Will Smith just wants to be like a normal ass husband. But he's got crazy-ass Jada Pinkett, who's like, I want to fuck guys and talk about it in front of my big red table. Fuck you, Jada Pinkett. She had, like, some tweet that was like, I want to congratulate Will Smith on his new book. Like, that's your fucking husband. Congrats to Will Smith. It's like, you know, your coworker or something. Fuck you, Jada. That's your bone. But Melanie's even worse. Melanie was the second person that Will Smith ever had sex with. So he's got to be a young man, as the story goes. He said Melanie broke up with him, and the heartache was so bad, he did what we all try to do. We all try to fuck our way through a breakup, right? The best way to get over someone is to get under somebody. And that's just, you know, simply not true at all. It's one of the most destructive things you can do because you're trying to fight your heartache and your emotional problems with your physical carnage, and it just never ends up working. Will Smith learned that the hard way, where he said every single time he fucked these girls who weren't Melanie, as he was trying to get through the breakup, he would fucking puke. Now, I don't know if that's a little, like, I got to sell these books. I'm going to exaggerate for this memoir. Maybe it happened once or twice, a couple times. I'll exaggerate and said it happened every time. But as he described it, he said it was his ghetto hyena phase. And I'm going to put the quotes out there to let you know that Will fucking Smith said that and not me. Because if I'm a white guy on a podcast saying that Will Smith went ghetto hyena, I'm getting fucking canceled. His words, not mine. But that makes me feel like there was a lot of chicks. You don't go through your ghetto hyena phase of fucking people and mean that, like, oh, yeah, I fucked like five or six girls. No, no, no. That feels like there's dozens of chicks that Will Smith was banging out and then puking, which is just crazy. Because can somebody look up real quick, when did Will Smith get The Fresh Prince? Because I was going to say he's not, you know, this story is from when he's a young man, but Will Smith was famous, like, right away.
1990.
No, what age?
Oh.
Because, you know, as he was playing a high schooler, I think he was a little bit older, but he can't be that much older. So whoever this Melanie chick was probably his high school, you know, teenage girlfriend, boyfriend relationship. So how much, you know, he wasn't some unknown scrub, I don't think. So the
I think he was 22.
So, all right, he's 22, maybe a little bit older. But the point being, Will Smith was always the fucking man. Even when he was like a kid. So to think that Will Smith, at any age, was so busted up over a chick breaking up with him. First of all, that means that chick Melanie was a baddie. I mean, she must be the real deal. But two, if Will Smith can be down that bad, that he's banging these chicks and puking everywhere, he's so heartbroken, you could be bad. You could be down bad too, you know? Just an important thing to remember as the regular people out here. Like, Will Smith can get dumped and be heartbroken to the point that he's puking everywhere. Fucking Beyonce can get cheated on. There are people who are the mega, mega superstars of this world who still go through the same bullshit that tears down, you know, regular fucking Joe, you know, working in the coal mines. Just remember that. But Will Smith, man, Will Smith is the fucking best. And I feel like he went through that weird pseudo-Scientology phase, and I think that was Jada Pinkett's fault. And he's going through this weird marriage, and that's definitely Jada Pinkett's fault. But at his core, Will Smith is the man. Always has been, always will be. He just went on a little detour where he was kind of unlikable for a little while and making really shitty movies. But he's one of the best fucking actors, and for my generation, he is one of, like, those, like, top cream of the crop Mount Rushmore guys. And I wish, I don't know if he went full-blown Scientology, but I think that Tom Cruise got his clutches in him. And I don't know what Jada Pinkett did to him, but he has been the Fresh Prince. He's been the Independence Day fucking Welcome to Earth guy. He has done it. He was getting jiggy with it in Miami. Everything he did was fucking cool. And to think that my poor friend Will was just out here fucking these chicks and then running to the bathroom and puking. That is an unbelievable visual. I know the feeling, man. That when you have that moment of clarity, see, I'm a big proponent of JJO, just jerk off. It's one of the most important mantras any guy can live by. Before you do anything in life, before you take a big test, give a big presentation, anytime you need to have your mind clear, anytime you're about to make a bad decision, anytime you're about to be tempted, you just jerk off. And when you clear the pipes and you get that fucking poison out, then you can see clearly. But the problem arises when you just jerk off, or once you come and the problems are still there. That's when you know you're fucked. Like people said to me when I had my whole divorce situation, what happened to JJO? Well, you can't say that one anymore. No, motherfucker, that was the problem. I was JJOing for years, and every time I finished the JO, I was like, nope, still feel like shit. This is still a problem. When the JJO doesn't fix your problem, that's when you know you've got some real shit. So here's Will Smith just trying to bust a nut and get his rocks off to get over this chick, Melanie. And even still, once he's finished, he has that post-nut clarity when you're supposed to be like all happy and good and thinking clearly. And instead, all he can think about is poor Melanie and how it's not her. And he's just puking all over the bathroom. I mean, that's a tough one. That's got to be a lot of one-night stands. I don't know how many girls are coming back for more when it's like, so how was it? Hey, you went on that date with that guy, Will. How was it? Well, it was good until he, you know, puked all over the walls after he came. Well, he came on my back and then puked on my bed sheets. I don't know if that's exactly the best report back to the girls in the group chat. But that's what I mean. Like, unless it was so early and so young, which I can't imagine. It's kind of weird if you're like a fucking 16-year-old, you're puking everywhere every time you fuck somebody because your like high school girlfriend dumped you. That would be weird. But at what, like, who, how old and famous, and it's just a weird story for a guy who was that popular that young to have gone through this breakup and be puking everywhere, and we haven't heard about it till now. Like, was he banging, you know, other, was he fucking like the, you know, the girl on the set of what was her name, Nia Richards or some shit? Was he banging that girl and then puking? Like, that would be wild. But hey, that's what happens when you go through your ghetto hyena phase. So fuck Melanie and Jada Pinkett, you bitches. And you know why? Because I guess the point is, no matter who you are, there will be somebody in your life that's the one that got away, or the one that's, you know, it's not like you're going to be hung up on it for the rest of your life, but there's somebody from when you were a middle schooler or high schooler, college, maybe even after, but usually when you're younger, that you have a crush on, that, you know, you either never get at all, or you got and she dumped you, and you might move on and you're happy and you fucked other people, you married people, you have kids, whatever, but it's always just like somewhere in the back of your mind, that's your Melanie. And this, today, if you're listening on drop day, it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the ultimate day to try to go back and basically fuck the one that got away. The biggest bar night of the year, going out, hanging out with high schooler. Well, no, see, that's the problem. The problem is when we brand this day, it's like, oh, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it's the day to go out there and fuck all those high school chicks. No. That's not what I said. I said it. I didn't mean it. That's the chance to go back out there and fuck the girls from high school that you went to high school with. It's not the time to go out there and fuck the high school girls. Let's get that very clear, okay? It's the time to go back and fuck the women who are your age, who you went to high school with 10, 15, whatever years ago. That's what the Wednesday's all about.
You almost just went full fucking, in no way did I mean fuck the high school.
Dude, like, unequivocally here on the Kevin Clancy Show, I can state you shouldn't fuck high school girls. Unless you're in high school. And even then, it's probably not a good idea. Keep your dick in your pants in high school. You're too young. Everybody's too young to be fucking anything in high school. But now's your chance when you go back. And now, you know, let me ask you this. When do you guys think is too old to do this? Like, I haven't done this in fucking forever.
To fuck high school girls?
At what point are you too old to fuck high school girls? Shout out to Matthew McConaughey, by the way. Let me, quick detour here. What do you think is more glossed over? Robert Downey Jr.'s blackface or Matthew McConaughey's my favorite thing about high school chicks is they say the same age, and I keep getting older. They say
it's
the same age.
It's McConaughey, because they've actually talked about Robert Downey Jr. because you're talking Tropic Thunder, like, and that was like,
and he went on Joe Rogan, and they did discuss it. It's not that it was like totally under the rug, but in this day and age where people are paying for like far worse, the fact that Robert Downey Jr. hasn't like really caught any heat. Maybe a little bit. I think maybe he had to address it once.
So I think that kind of falls under like the way that Sonny did it too, where they're making a point to be like, this is not
okay. But you know, even when, you know, it's like for everyone, I always say like under no circumstances, it's like, you can't say certain words even if you are condemning the use of them. There are certain things you can't do. But Robert Downey Jr. was so fucking funny in Tropic Thunder, and Mac is so good in Lethal Weapon that nobody cares. And the Matthew McConaughey quote, everybody loves it. They throw in a little, all right, all right, all right. And what's the exact thing? You know what I love about these high school girls? I keep getting older, they stay the same age. Rapist! Fucking rapist, dude. Statutory rapist right there. And everybody for like a couple decades was like, hey, how about that line? So no, we're not going McConaughey. But it is the chance to go back and maybe right some wrongs or make up for the past mistakes or flex a little bit now that you're doing better. I think it's always a good day to go back and realize that like the people you like glorified in high school really ain't shit. If you're doing well, if you're not doing so well, it's a chance to try to relive those glory days. So everybody kind of wins. But I mean, I haven't even considered doing this for probably 10 years now, maybe 8 years. I don't know, late 20s. You're still in primo spot. Pavs will be doing this,
yeah,
right?
Pavs is still in college. Yeah.
We just found out that Pavs was like, yeah, I got three classes next semester. I was like, what?
Not next semester, next month.
Next month, you have three classes in a month? What does that mean?
Three classes, and then I'm done. I just got to take them online.
And you can do it all in 30 days? A whole class?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I'm like, this motherfucker has three classes left. And I'm thinking, you know, he's a Long Island guy. We've already given him a job here. I'm thinking he's going to Hofstra. He goes to Pace. He's in some SUNY or CUNY school, like one of these bullshit schools for the idiots who could barely get into college. And he's like, yeah, I got to go to South Carolina. Like, what?
Yeah, I guess I stay pretty quiet about that one.
Yeah. South Carolina. This guy over here is a Gamecock. It's not that it's like this crazy of a school or whatever. It's just I had no idea he was even still in college, let alone a big time like Southern. So like were you living in South Carolina all these years?
Yeah.
You were going to school down there, right?
I technically had like an apartment up until like a month ago.
Yeah, there was the day that we went on, but when we went to Atlantic City for the shoot, he was supposed to go move out of his apartment
in South
Carolina. Instead he came with us and like, what, your buddy just moved all your stuff?
So you signed up for a summer internship?
Yeah.
Got a job and just never looked back?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Were you trying to get a job?
No, this just, I was caddying about like, I was just catting as soon as I got back from school, no plans to get a job. I was just going to go back to school. Saw this on ZipRecruiter. And then, yeah.
Shout out ZipRecruiter. Yeah. Do you actually, you make good videos. So it's not like you were faking it. Like you knew what you're doing, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. He actually, I had originally promoted him to Foreplay because a lot of his graphics were like skewed towards Foreplay and golf. And then Jake had picked up Garrett. So I was.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
and yet still you're going to go to school like an idiot.
Yeah, that's just to make my mom happy.
Yeah, these fucking moms out here. I got a bone to pick with you, Mrs. Pabs. Let my man live. And he's got to pay for the classes, too? That's literally just money on fire. That sucks.
Tell her, Kev. Thank you.
I mean,
say this for weeks now.
You know, it's tough. When I used to be all about get your degree. When we first were coming up and Bob Fox dropped out of school like after a couple classes, and I think Glennie did the opposite. Glennie was like a semester away from graduating. And I was like, just go to school. And then I came around on the whole idea. And it's like, don't fucking go to school at all. If you're spending money, if you have a scholarship or your parents pay for it, it's on someone else's dime, go ahead, have a blast. But when you've got your gig or you can spend your time and money somewhere else in a much better way, what a fucking racket college has become, especially post-COVID, where room and board sucks, prices are higher than ever, inflation's soaring, textbooks are so expensive, classes are virtual, professors are working from home, and the price hasn't changed. Fuck you, college. Absolute garbage. So I guess, you know, go get your degree from the Gamecocks. because that means something. Unbelievable. Bone to pick with those motherfuckers too. But so you're going to go back on Friday, on Wednesday, and you're going to go out tonight and like booze it up?
Yeah, big plans every year. It's like same girl every year.
Same girl?
Strike out every year.
Really? Okay, so you got the one.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be the year, Mike.
You think so?
What do you think,
this
bro?
This is the year.
You're coming in with this barstool job.
A little clout.
Yeah.
Hashtag this is the year. Tweet at Mikey Pass.
Are you, when you go back,
yeah,
the past couple years, what's the landscape look like? Are we talking like there's some finance dudes, some of the guys are like real successful, or is it like everyone's still kind of in college? Like, you're still so young, so it's like no one out here can really be a like a baller yet. There shouldn't be too much separation.
No,
I feel like this is the year, dude. I feel like there's a chance you go back to school, you go back to home with like the premier conversation talking point. Like being at Barstool now, for better or worse, is now like you're going to be at the bar or at the party or whatever, and people are going to want to talk to you about that, including Miss Pie in the Sky here.
I mean, yeah, I got a lot to say. I've been home a couple times, and it's been obviously the topic of conversation, but I haven't seen her yet, so.
Okay, but you do have a, like a, not a relationship with her, but like when you see her, you'll be like, what's up? Like, it's not she's like a girl you never even spoke to or something like that.
No. It's the same, we do the same dance every year.
Okay, and what happens? You like kind of talk, but they can't close the deal?
Can't close the deal. I go home with blue balls every night.
Every night. Is she like into it too? Or she is like, I know this guy wants to fuck me and I'm going to like flirt with him and pump him for drinks, but I'm going home alone.
Oh, she's like many times brought up the idea of going on a date, and then time will come. I'll wait, you know, the week. I'll wait a couple of days and then it'll just be no good or I'm busy that night. And
but you do try.
I do try. I always put in one effort, but every year it's gotten a little bit less of an effort, but I feel like this is my year.
This is the year, Michael, because I'll tell you why. Not only do you have the Barstool job and you've got, you know, some interesting stories. You can talk about the live show. You can talk about the scandals. You can talk about all this shit. But the fact that you've been putting less and less work into it, that's the perfect storm.
Yeah.
So not only is that girl going like, you know, I heard Mike Paz is like doing live shows and he's like doing all this shit on the internet, working with Barstool. She's also thinking, you know, 2018, he was really all about it. 2019, he's not really like even interested anymore. 2019 doesn't even count. Yeah. 2020, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, she's got it. She's the one who's got to capitalize. She's sitting there with her friends being like, I got to fuck this guy this week.
She's got to impress me. She's got to make sure. I mean, I'm going to go with some confidence.
This is it. This is the mentality. Ever. You got to prove to me that I'm going to fuck you, that you're fuck worthy.
Exactly.
You know what you should do? Just fuck somebody else, Mike. You should go in there and be like, oh, yeah, you had your chance, sweetheart. What would it take if she was into this for you to not? Like, is there other girls or other, is this like so the white whale, white buffalo, whatever you want to call it, that like if it's there, you're doing it?
Yeah, this would be like perfect closure of years of trying to get like shit on by my friends.
Yeah.
It's like, what's even the point anymore?
Yes.
But there would be not much that would come in the way.
Honestly. Like if just like another chick showed up who was just super hot, not even from your school. There's like another girl at the bar or whatever, and she was about it. Would you be like, no, I gotta close off this like portion of my life?
Most likely, just for closure. Yeah.
What if it's not closure? What if it's just the beginning?
Then I probably would go with the other girl because I'm just getting into this thing.
Yeah, you don't go getting a girlfriend now, Mike.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. I swear to God, I'm going to have a rule. If Mike gets a girlfriend, he's fired. I'm going to have a rule. If Mike gets in a monogamous situation,
he'll edit the podcast. He'll edit the podcast. Like, right now, me and Jack are splitting up these four-hour podcasts.
He'll just cut the
He does the full thing, so his nights are just fucking packed. It'll get in the way of the relationship.
Dude.
Trust me.
I will do whatever it takes to make sure you do not get in a monogamous relationship until you are 25, I say. That would be my rule. I swear to God, I think there should be, you know how like you can't drive a car until you're 16, right? Now that's because it's like physically dangerous and you can hurt people. I think you shouldn't be allowed to be in relationships when you're that age either, because it can emotionally damage people and fuck you up. I think you should not be allowed to be in a relationship until you are basically out of college, which I know sounds crazy. And I know you can't enforce that rule because you got to have boyfriends and girlfriends. You got to go on dates and shit. But the thought of restricting yourself in any way in like high school, and then when you're on your own in college, is so fucking insane. And I'm not just talking about sex where it's like, oh, I can't fuck all these girls or guys. I got to just only one pussy. Like, none of that. I'm talking about like when you are a young dude, you're a teenager, and like your boys are like, yo, we're going to like the party tonight. We're going to go to the keg party. We're going to go here. We're going to do this. We're going to go on a road trip. We're going to play golf. We're going to go to the game. And you're like, I can't because I got to do blah, blah, blah with my girlfriend. And both vice versa when it's a boyfriend is so ridiculous. To think about being like a 19-year-old being like, can't do it, gotta stay at home. Ugh. You've got your whole fucking life to do that. That's why everybody should just be banging on Wednesdays. Everybody, go out, do your thing in the real world, come back home for one night a year before Thanksgiving, fuck everybody who you missed out on, and then start your life back over on Thursday. It's like the purge. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I know people want to party and they think, you know, it's more about the purge. It's about getting all that out, the closure that Mike says. It's not that he wants this girl. It's that he just needs to be like, I'm done. I worked at this. I didn't fail. I made it happen, and now I'm fucking done. The irony is going to end up being that she's going to want to like date you, and you're going to be like, no. And then, my, how the tables have turned. Or you fuck her tonight, and you end up puking. One or the other. I don't know. Maybe you're like, oh, I was looking for all this closure, and instead I ended up vomiting on her bed. Because, hey, if Will Smith can do it, then Mikey Pabs can too.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
But just remember, I used to have this whole thing on mail time back in the day, the perfect times to get a girlfriend. Basically, like, you want to have a girlfriend. You want to like date a girl, maybe like your junior year of high school. Now, this again, this is flies in the face. I think you should not have any girlfriends, boyfriends. But so here's how it works. Your junior year of high school, I'll allow you to have a girlfriend because now you can drive and you can take your car out, take your mom and dad's car out. You go scoop this girl up. You have sex in your car. You fuck in like the parking garage, whatever. You have something steady happening there. Then comes your senior year. You got to be done with that. Maybe you can even allow it through like your senior year of high school, but your senior summer, see you later. We're going to college. There's no fucking chance anybody in the world should ever take a high school relationship into college. That is lunacy. And I swear as a parent or a teacher or a goddamn guidance counselor, somebody should step in these situations and be like, you have to dump this person because you got to go fuck random people in college. So then college starts. You got to go through your freshman year. No relationship. Absolutely not. Again, not even because of the sex, because you want to go out every night. You want to meet as many people as you can. You want to be doing different shit, activities, fucking get a job, work at the radio, work the this or the that, student study, play intramurals, regular sports, whatever. Freshman year, no girlfriends at all. Sophomore year, if you've had a solid senior year, I'll allow the dating. But what you do is you date from like the first semester through right now. And then you break up. You date for a couple months, you break up because you're going to want to come home. Now you've been away for like a year and a little bit. Now you can go back and fuck somebody from high school, whatever. You also don't have to go through Christmas presents. So you break up with her through the holidays, through Valentine's Day. And then you can get back with your girl second semester, sophomore year. You date through that semester if you want. Then I recommend breaking up for the summer again and then into junior year. People are going to be studying abroad. People are going away. Everyone's going to be cheating on each other your junior year. You don't want any part of having a girlfriend your junior year. Now, senior year of high school, of college, is kind of a coin flip because you can think of it either as I have like fucked my way through everybody in this pool, depending on where you went to college, or you can think of it as like this is my last hurrah. So you can either do one or the other. Then you get out of college, break up again. Once you're back out on your own, you got to start your real life. It's almost like going into college with a high school relationship. You can't go into the real world from your college relationship. You got to be done with that. Because then 22 to 26 is just college, but with money. You're living where you want to live with. You're living with who you want to live with. Now you have money in your pocket. That's, again, a whole other situation where you should just basically be single the entire time. Do not dare have a girlfriend from 22 to 26. Do you fucking hear me, Pavs? Do not dare from 22 to 26. Then you got to start dating a little bit, 27, late 20s. Don't get pressured into being like, I'm 28. I have to get married soon. Oh, I'm 28, which means I have to propose by the time I'm 29 because then I'm going to have like a year of an engagement and then be married when I'm 30 so that I can have kids when I'm 30. Blah, 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 blah. All those rules are out the fucking windows, folks. You think those same rules apply? For fuck's sake, we're selling NFTs, okay? We're doing the metaverse now. Mark Zuckerberg's putting goggles on your fucking head and telling you we don't even need tangible things anymore because we're living in a virtual reality fantasy world. And you think we still got to play by the rules of get married by the time you're 30 and have kids by the time you're 33? Get lost. Those are like Jesus timeline. Jesus died when he was 33. He was worried about doing shit in his 30s. Not now. We got the metaverse. We're selling little fucking JPEGs for hundreds of thousands of dollars. There are no more rules, you idiots. There's no more guidelines for any of this shit. People are freezing their cum and selling their eggs. You can do all this shit, whatever you want. It's insane to go by any sort of timeline. Be single from 22, minimum 22 to 26, possibly 22 to 45. Maybe I'll let you start dating when you're 45. But then at that point, you're single and you got tons of money and you don't want anybody young holding you down. Basically, what I'm saying is don't ever get in a relationship. Just make all your money, travel the world, fuck whoever you want. And when they say, like, you're dying alone, like, so what? You're going to be dead. Who cares? Who cares who you die with? You're going to be fucking dead. But definitely, 22 to 26, don't even fucking think about it. Because I'm kind of joking, but I'm being more serious right now. I think the biggest problem with relationships lasting now really, it almost seriously is technology. Because there was a time where you settled down with whoever, your high school sweetheart, someone you met in college, post-college, everything looks good, feels good. Okay, this will last and I'm happy enough. Unless you've met, like, you know, the perfect one, then hats off to you. Everything's all good. Great. We're thrilled for you. Everyone's really fucking impressed. You found your soulmate. Whatever. Everyone else is doing some form of settling or like, all right, you check these boxes, you know, not some of these pros and cons, whatever. That used to be fine because it was like, what else are you really going to see? Especially in, like, you know, if you're in the city, it's one thing. Some of these small towns, it's like, yeah, this is as good as it gets. Then you hop on the fucking phone and you open up any of these apps, let alone the dating apps. You open those up and it's like, oh, there's someone 100 feet away from you that wants to suck your dick. Forget about those. Even just having Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, any social media, Pinterest, where you can find these people that all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I have everything in common with this person. Everything about them jives with what I want. And now you have the temptation of being like, well, wait a minute. You know, I thought this was what I wanted, but I was exposed to all these other people, all these other things, all these other places that actually make me happy, or that's what I really want to do. Here's where I want to live, or here's where I want to work, or here's how I want to spend my time, here's who I want to be with, here's who I want to fuck. The internet, social media, dating apps, all that shit opens you up to the possibility of finding, like, your absolute 100% match that checks every box. And maybe that's bad because you go chasing. Nobody can really check every box, right? But you have this, like, you're chasing that. You have the idea of, like, if I keep swiping or I keep following or I keep commenting or whatever, I will find that perfect someone. Maybe that doesn't exist. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's a good thing that you're not settling anymore, that you keep your high standards because anything is possible. You might find that person. Whether or not that's good or bad, the reality is it's there and it's going to be in the back of your mind. So don't even play yourself. Don't even pretend like the same rules from fucking, you know, decades ago apply to you now, because the game has entirely changed because of what's available right in your fucking pocket in your hand. So what I'm saying is just fuck people you find on the internet. That can never go wrong. Just try not to throw up on them. All right, one more bone to pick before we get into our interview with Trevor Wallace.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
My last bone to pick is with people debating the Thanksgiving dishes. One of the problems I've run into on the blog, doing it as long as I have done it, is I have to remember that there's always a new crop of people, a new crop of kids, internet users, readers, viewers, listeners, whatever, who are doing all of these classic arguments for the first time. And so I have to have that same gusto when I'm talking about Thanksgiving dishes or Thanksgiving traditions or whatever, even though I've been doing them for 15 fucking years, because guess what? Thanksgiving doesn't change. It hasn't changed for, like, I don't know, like 600 years, right? When was the first Thanksgiving? Something like the 1400s or some shit. Yeah, you know, we've been doing the same dinner since we stole this shit from the Native Americans. It is what it is. So for the first couple of years, when I was like a 25-year-old blogger, I'm like, you know what I'm going to write about? Thanksgiving dishes. I haven't done that yet. Let me tell you about what I think's overrated and underrated and what I like. And I'm coming in hot and I'm yelling about it. We're all arguing about it. And now, like 10 years later, 15 years later, it's like, I already did this. But there's a new kid coming up who thinks that he's got a hot, spicy take, saying that he thinks Ocean Spray jelly cranberry is better than the fancy cranberry sauce. No fucking kidding, pal. We've been doing that forever. So I'm trying to remind myself that I gotta still represent for the people who are new to here and liking my shit, who wanna hear me argue about Thanksgiving dishes. But I'll tell you what's happening right now, and I don't like it. We got pendulums swinging all over the place. There was a time a couple years back when the anti-turkey movement began. And I was kind of on board with that. Not anti-turkey as much as, you know when they say it's not enough to be not racist, you have to be anti-racist. Well, I wasn't anti-turkey. I was just not turkey. I think that Thanksgiving is all about the sides. I don't really want to waste any precious stomach area with turkey. I want to have all of the side dishes that you don't really get all year round. I want to have the stuffing. I want to have the cranberry. I want the things that are unique to Thanksgiving. And then you mix it in with the classic sides, the mashed potatoes, the crescent rolls, all the shit that is just staples of high quality meal sides. And then you mix it in with the specialty Thanksgiving dishes. Well, that was hot in the streets for a couple of years. You don't need to have turkey. Eat whatever you want. Replace it all together. Don't cook it if you don't want to. All that shit. Well, now I feel like we went too overboard with that. Turkey is Thanksgiving. The same way that stuffing and cranberry is, turkey, you don't often go out cooking a big 20-pound bird. You'll have it as a deli sandwich, sure. You'll have it for a little while after as leftovers, but turkey still is Thanksgiving. So you can't ditch it altogether. Now I feel like the pendulum swung all the way back where people are like sucking turkey's dick. Like, you need to have turkey, and turkey's the best part. Fuck you. Turkey's fine. Turkey is a legend. Turkey is a classic. But you're not getting excited for turkey. That's not getting your dick hard. You're not feeling that in your plums, okay? Some creamy mashed potatoes, some of that perfect stuffing. The people who love the casseroles, the people who love all those, the mac and cheese, if you work that in there, that's what you feel in your plums. This overcorrection of turkey now being king, I don't like that. I've also seen some talk about stuffing being overrated. You can go fuck yourself. You think that stuffing's overrated? How about you suck my dick? You ever think about that? Stuffing is another thing, by the way, that I think fake is better than real. Give me the Ocean Spray jelly. Pops out of the can, still has the rings on it, and you slice that shit up perfectly in that cylinder. Give me that fake. Also, give me the stovetop fake. I'm fine with that. I don't need the weird, like, sausage stuffing that comes out of the bird's asshole. I don't need that. I just need, like, breadcrumbs galore. Give me stuffing that is this carby deliciousness loaded up with the turkey. That is Thanksgiving. That is the number one dish. Mashed potatoes is the number one food of all time, but the number one dish at Thanksgiving is stuffing. And anybody who tries to tell you it's overrated is a fucking asshole. Okay? So turkey, fine. It's probably properly rated now. You don't need to say that it's underrated. It's not really as overrated as people make it. It's just, it is the core piece of the entree. I'm not going to have like several slices of it. I'm not mixing in the white meat and the dark meat. I'm having a couple bites of it. I use it as a solid sticking point where I can get the cranberry and the mashed potatoes and the stuffing all on a piece of it. It's more of a conduit. The turkey is almost like a bagel. When you're eating a bagel, that's just a conduit to get the cream cheese in your mouth, really. That's kind of like the turkey. You use that to get the stuffing and the sides and the gravy and everything all in your mouth at the same time. So it's a necessary part, but it's not king. And anyone who tries to tell you that stuffing is not, you're probably not fucking American. And I got a bone to pick with you too. So let's just remember my top five dishes. I'll put it on the blog. It's an annual post that I put up every year. My top five Thanksgiving Day dishes never changes and it never will. But I'll remember that there's a new group of people out there who want to argue about it and talk about it, so it will be on the blog. But just remember, turkey fine, stuffing elite. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's get into our interview with Trevor Wallace.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good to go. All right, let's do it. Trevor Wallace in the building
on
KFC Radio. You came through one other time in the office, but for the most part, I feel like...
Pre-pandemic.
You know, yeah.
2019.
Before the world.
Different era.
Yeah, it really was, though, man.
I wasn't this buff back then.
But you fucking murdered ATI the other day, man.
Thank you, dude. I was so nervous to check your comments on that. Because there's an audience you don't want to fuck with. That's a Barstool audience. And when you're coming in hot being like, yeah, I don't watch sports. They're like, no, what the fuck are you doing here, bro?
No, but I love it, man. I love that so much because... Yeah. Fuck sports. Sports.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right? Well, listen, I'm already, when people complain about the Barstool audience or say that they're nasty, I'm like, nobody knows it better than me, brother. So I'm with you. I'm on that side. They're always all against me. It's so, not all against me. You know what bothers me? I get a ton of public hate. And I get a ton. I mean, ton. Like, every comment, like, get this guy off of the Barstool Instagram. I thought this was Barstool Sports. What is this, TMZ? This guy's got a punchable face. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But, and then I get a ton of private love. And I get people being like, yo, man, I don't know what's up with all the hate. Like, thank you, though. Like,
you get private love.
Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. I'm like, could you just post that in public, too? Like, reply to those guys?
Comment. So, I'll pin your comment, dude. People will see it.
I hate to admit it, but it's like, you know, if you tune into a video, let's say you've never seen it before, and you see the comments, you will be swayed. You know what I mean?
Like, it's listen to the audience.
Like, you could watch it and be like, that was pretty funny or informative or interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, everybody hates this guy. So, like, I'm a loser if I like him. Like, And I don't think that way. I would hope people have their own opinions, but most people don't. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I hate to give them any credit, but like sometimes the haters can be a problem. So I'm like, if you like me that much, can you fucking help a brother out?
Yeah. I feel that, man. What was funny is on that episode, a bunch of people were like, yeah, nobody's laughing. I was like, guys, I recorded this at my house.
So
the thing with the green screen is it looks like it. Well, it looks. To say it?
Yeah. Right.
I was shocked when I found out it was a green screen.
Yeah, you saw it in a gray background.
Yeah. I was like, it's fucking New York. Properties are expensive. They're just running up behind the bodega and they're just like, and action. How do they get it so quiet? I don't know.
It is kind of funny to think that we have this green screen and just to turn it into a gray wall.
But I like it. It has a look.
It keeps it sleek.
And I had to follow Abella Danger. Just big shoes.
No. Here's the thing. That cooked up the algorithm a little bit. So following her is a good thing.
I mean, she commented on one of the posts that I was on.
Did she?
So she knows about it. She's great, man.
Bro, she's back to college. You saw that?
I saw that.
She sent me a video the other day of her just like sitting in a fucking auditorium. Yeah, and I can hear the professor being like, okay, let's take out your textbooks now. And she's looks gorgeous, like running her hands through her hair. I'm thinking
about it. You think it's for clickbait?
I don't.
Stepsister gets caught at college?
Because, I said, I was like, you're crazy if you don't, A, shoot a scene about this. B, like, she should have a whole series called Abella Goes to College.
We had this porn star on our podcast, Kendra Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
She was Oregon State girl, flash her tits.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, she was telling us on my podcast, Stiff Socks, shameless plug. She was like, I want to do a college tour where I just fuck a bunch of college guys. And I was like, she's like, yeah, but I don't know where to find them. I'm like, okay. Them? Yeah. Every college, you can find a guy.
I don't know where to find college guys. How about going to college?
But like that's where a they guy are. That'd be down. A guy's like, oh, it's all I have to do is have sex with a porn star as a freshman.
I think though, you say that, like you've seen those videos, college fuck fest, whatever. Where you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
But like, would you? It's one thing to say, like, oh, yeah, I would fuck this porn star in college. Would you fuck a girl in the middle of a party in front of everybody?
I think college Trevor was a different Trevor.
Was he? You were a wild boy?
I wasn't pulling shit. It was not great. So, also, it's like college is all about, like, bragging.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yo, you don't say who the girl was. You say who not fraternity. Hold up.
Hey, now. Whoa.
You say the sorority. So, you're like, I didn't sleep with Kelsey. I slept with a girl from Delta Gamma.
And that's known as the hot fraternity.
So, if you're,
so it could be, whoever. It doesn't matter as long as she's got those letters.
Because all about titles in college.
I don't know any of that shit. I went to Fordham. We're up in the hood. No frats. No Greek life. Yeah. None of that shit. So, it's so foreign to me.
But I think
did you have to do a lot of, like, hazing and shit?
No, it was very weak.
Did you do, like...
It's a California school, so
but was it even... You know, I've always said, like...
I got hot sauce in my eyes, but that was about it.
See, I don't think I can do it, bro. Like I don't... I feel like week one, day one, where they'd be like, all right, you have to get me beer all night long. I'd be like, I'm out, man. I'm not doing this. Fuck you.
It's so
let alone some of the weird shit.
It
but
is
I don't
weird
know.
How you're just getting bullied around by, like, dudes who are, like, 2 years older than you.
Yes.
With the shitty, like, chin strap beard. And you're like, I shouldn't listen to you.
Yeah, but they have all the power. And they're doing it to you because someone did it to them.
Yeah. It was weird because the first 3 weeks of school, there was, like, you know, you're just hanging out with the people on your floor in your dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, these people are chill, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you like join the frat and you're like, you guys don't matter. You guys are pussies. Do not look at me in the eyes.
It's
I will not
horrible,
even make
man.
Eye contact with you in the cafeteria. It's
horrible.
A terrible, that's what I'm saying. College Trevor was a different Trevor.
Yeah.
So I think college Trevor would have like, if a porn star was like, yeah, I'm down. Cause then you're doing it for like the story.
Yeah. But it's just, good for you if you're gonna fucking if you can throw that down and put on a show.
Oh, I mean, I don't think I'd throw it down.
Yeah,
I think I would.
Imagine that.
But it's all titles.
Like, awkwardly, like, yeah, guys, and people are watching, like, bro.
Yeah.
That's why I leave it to the professionals.
But
you know,
that's the thing. It's like you don't have you don't answer the follow-up questions. Banged a porn star last night. How was it? Dope.
Doesn't
are we
matter.
Going
that's
to
it.
Buffalo Wild Wings. End it here. So I think it's all about titles. But I do think there is a point where it's like. She's like, okay, what floor? Like, what do you want to meet? And you're like,
yeah. What? Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm in physics class.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's wild. What was the craziest thing you did in college?
Oh, Jesus. I think one of my favorite things we did was we played BYU, our football team. I went to San Jose State. And we're D1, you know.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Mountain West, I believe it is.
Whatever.
You know, we got Boise
one
State.
One.
They're all right.
Uh-huh.
We ranked last season, whatever, San Jose State. We played BYU and we all dressed up like Mormons and went hammered and we went to the BYU side.
How does one dress like a Mormon?
You know, just wholesome good boys. You ever seen a Chick-fil-A general manager?
No, I mean, it was just kind of like, it was the very hacky, traditional, like, I don't think it would fly today. I don't know. Is it? Yeah. Can you make fun of Mormons?
I don't know. I feel like they're one of the last, like, little pockets that everybody will be like, yeah, fuck those weirdos.
Yeah, 2031, they'll be like, that's
yeah, it. Eventually, but they'll get their day. That and ginger still, like, people will just, like, roast a fucking ginger. Yeah. You're not, like, a...
Dude, as a kid?
You're bright red.
Not great.
I've been having this argument with Feidelberg for the last month. He's got, like, orange hair, and he's trying to call himself blonde. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, you can just say strawberry blonde.
Yeah, we get a lot of that.
Just, those two things.
Because, though... When you say you're a ginger, people will just openly clown you to your face. And it's like, and especially in this world, you know, now today you can't make fun of anybody's appearance or whatever. But you'll get like the most woke, feminist, open-minded, progressive, like, you fucking ginger, you're gross. It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
A pale ginger no protection.
Yeah, the day that South Park episode came out about gingers, I was in like sixth grade.
Oh, that's brutal. Ever. That's legit horrible for like a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't seen the episode, and I walked in with a fucking ginger. And then I watched the episode. I was like, no, guys, I'm a daywalker. All right, get it straight, dude. It was terrible. It wasn't great, but here we are.
So you go to the other side, the other sideline dresses more.
Oh, BOU, yeah. And I mean, we had like handles of like plastic vodka, and we're just, you know, chanting away. And they're not even making eye contact with us. And the funniest part is, you know, BYU blew us out of the water, maybe like 60-3. Mm-hmm. I think they gave us a field goal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm trying to think about crazy, you know, it's just a lot of just dumb drunk stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I was never like, I'm never the focal point. I'm the center of attention at the party. I'm like blocked down the corner.
Yeah, there was like cool stuff where you like go to like Lake Havasu. I got punched in the face and made out with a girl a couple hours later.
Okay, so now we're cooking.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Lake Havasu. I mean, that's just like that was like
that place is awesome, right?
A West Coast PCB, right?
Okay.
It's just like where everybody would go on spring break. I just remember there's three guys walking towards us. I was with one other guy. And I don't know how drunk fights start. Mm-hmm. Usually eye contact.
So I was gonna say.
Usually it's like.
Oh, usually you looked at me with your eyeballs, and then it was on.
Yeah, it's very.
Fuck you looking at.
And all I remember was being like, "What?" And that's enough to get a guy
it
riled
really
up.
It really is. It really
and
is.
And it's one of those things where the guy next to me was pretty buff, so I was like, "We got this." Uh-huh. And he's like, "We."
And you're the one who said what, not me, bro.
And I looked, and he just wasn't there. After I was like, "What's up?" And the guy like veered left. The guy I was with.
Oh no! So you were solo.
And he hit me right here, and so my like tooth went into my lip.
Uh huh.
And so it swelled it up real bad. And then that night I made out with a girl, and now she's a kid. So.
Not how weird is that? You're what are you like 28, 29?
No. This is like
no. I'm 21. Saying that.
Oh, right now 28.
28. Yeah. So like, you're like, at that age where some chicks you did some things with.
Oh, got
or
kids.
You know some reputation, you know, and now all of a sudden she's getting married, and you're looking at that guy being like, he doesn't know anything about what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, is that my kid? Question mark. But no.
Math.
Yeah, that is weird. Because we always talk about that. And it goes, you know, both ways for guys and girls. It's like, there's always, every fraternity, every sorority has, like, that person who just, you know, lives their college years.
As they're supposed to be lived, to be honest.
Yeah, but they're living it for their friend who couldn't make it to college, you know?
Yes.
They're like, hey,
yes.
You know when your friend's like, hey, I can't go out tonight, take a shot for me? They're, like, living it up.
Take a life for me.
Yeah, so they're banging it out pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And then, like, 3 months out of college, somebody's like, they find someone back home, like, this is the one.
Crazy.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
you are Eskimo bros with a lot of fraternity, man.
And good for them if, you know, they got out of their system. And so now they can be that happy, like, respectable person they are. But I just can't help but think about it. There's a girl that we grew up with who, I mean,
everybody
in the crew. Yeah, everybody in the crew. Literally everybody.
Yeah.
And she was almost like one of the guys. It wasn't a big deal. It was like, sometimes at the end of the night, she fucks one of us, you know?
Yeah.
I actually was like, there's me and one other dude who were the only guys who didn't. And
dude,
everybody else did.
I like that too.
I just, sometimes I was like, why not? But then I'm looking around the rest of the room, I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
You know? But now she got married to this dude, and we called him the guy with the teeth. Because he just had these fucking piano
chompers.
Keys, man. So he's like, the guy with the teeth. He has no idea.
Yeah.
And
that probably sounds so wild on the street. Is that the guy with the teeth? And everyone's like, huh?
Are these, all of us.
Are these not real? Yeah, dude, we had a girl like that in our hometown. She had, And I think in high school, I was so much more of a boobs guy than a butt guy.
Really?
So, oh, in high school.
Well, yeah. You were a child.
Yeah.
Because then you grow up.
Yeah, that's
boobs
the real.
Tits are for boys, ass are for men.
That's the real puberty. Right? When you discover ass has been there this
so
whole
true.
Time, you're like, hold
that
on.
That is so
you
true.
You had this wagon all the time? I knew you? Right. But this girl had just great rack, and she was hooking up with all my friends, and she would like come to me for advice, and I was like, well, I'm not getting any of this.
Yeah,
I'm in the friend zone, dog.
I had a ton of girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, my class specifically just had, like, I don't know, it was like 10, like, dimes, you know, who were a part of, like, the, and they were, I was the shoulder to cry on. I was like, God,
but here's the
damn
thing,
it,
dude.
Man.
As a guy, you don't accept the friend zone. You're like, I'll get out of it.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no.
And the friend zone's like, you got 25 to life in this bitch. You ain't going nowhere.
Absolutely. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll be there for when things up. And it's like, and then she'll cry about the breakup while she fucks another guy. Once you are truly friend zone, have you ever broken out of any? I don't think I've ever successfully done it.
Kinda. Well, that same girl I was talking about was like one night we hooked up at a party. We didn't bang her. It was made out, and I was like, hold up.
The door's open.
I also got one time I was looking at a girl in college, and midway through she stopped and looked at me. She goes, I kind of miss my ex. That's a real thing.
Mid hookup.
In a bunk bed, in a fraternity.
Mid like.
Bottom bunk.
Mid like hookup or like mid like you're inside?
No, we're just making out.
Because if your dick is inside of a girl and she says, I miss. Another
at
guy,
that point,
that's
I go, well,
sign.
Let's role play. I'm your boyfriend.
What was his name? You have an accent? Let me be him.
Who knows, man? I just remember.
God, these girls, they're so insensitive.
Man, I just remember being like, what do you say after that?
Yeah.
I miss him too. Bring him in here.
I think you're going to be like, well, I miss mine. Now hop up on this dick, whatever. Let's have some we miss our exes sex.
Yeah, I wish I was in that. Yeah. I was more so like, that's, I get it.
You want to stop and tell me about him?
Yeah. Romance, you can't recreate it. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
One of my biggest regrets is not like being, you know, aggressive in that manner, being like, but I just was so timid around everybody, girls, like just in general in life, like that fear of rejection or my friends judging me, you know, it's like I'd be talking to a girl who's maybe not the hottest girl in the world. And rather than being like, fuck it, who cares? Let me, like, have a good night with her. And I'd be like, no, like, I'm going to get home with the boys. It's like, okay, like, you're eating pizza at fucking 3 a.m. instead of who knows what would have been happening, you know? All because you're afraid of one guy clowning
judging
you or saying some shit.
Yeah, I did not
whatever.
Have that. I let my morals speak out.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know.
Good for you.
Was. Just college, I think it's really just about, like, you're just trying to, like, have a cool story the following Friday or Saturday when you guys are at the cafeteria.
I think that, though, like, I think you might be, you know, a storyteller. Whereas I was, like, content to listen to the stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was also a big girlfriend guy.
Yeah.
Which I think there should be, like, a legitimate rule. You're not allowed to have relationships in our society until you're, like 38.
Yeah.
When you have a little bit of a receding hairline. There you go. As soon as you're becoming too unattractive to date is when you start dating. But like when you're, you know, you see like a high school kid like busted up about a breakup or clearly wants to go to college and like hook up, but they stay with their high school girlfriend or even in college or even just post college where it's like, now's the time to find a new city and an apartment and live. And you're like worried about this girl who you're not gonna end up with or guy, you know, it goes both ways.
Somebody in my extended family, they dated somebody for 7 years, met in high school, dated through high school, dated through college, and then after college, it's like it's not working. And then you're like, you missed out on
all of it.
Pivotal points.
Yeah.
You know, then you're like 24 being like, oh, sure it'd be a shame if I got invited to a frat party tonight.
Yeah, that's not.
This is a Kmart.
Right, that's not happening. I know. That's what I mean. I'm not trying to sound like it should be like, just fuck everybody all the time, forever, until your dick falls off.
Yeah.
But there's a certain time of life where you can do that. And it's not even necessarily about just sex. It's about, like, having the freedom. Like, I remember there was times where the guys would be, like, you know, in the middle of the afternoon being like, you want to just, like, hit the bar and fucking, rage right now?
All you need to worry about is yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no, I got to, like, do this later with my girl.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, things like just the freedom that comes along with being single. You know, there's only the 4 years in high school and college and then a little bit post-college where you are Do whatever you want or whatever you don't want to do.
Dude, one of our best friends in the frat had he was a big girlfriend guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, he would sneak off and, like, try to be a girlfriend guy. Mm-hmm. And I just remember one time we were having a party and there was a room in the fraternity. It was, like, called the study room. It was just, like, a long, narrow room where, like, you do homework and shit. But also on
sure
parties
that got
where,
a lot of play.
Yeah. But during like parties, people would probably have the intercourse in there. Maybe do some sniffing of keys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But like we just went in there one time, and it was like in December, and it was a party, and he's in there with his girlfriend making gingerbread houses. And dude, when one person found out, it was like the DJ stopped the music. They're like, "Yo, get the fuck to the study room!
You guys gotta see this shit. It's fucking gingerbread houses."
But for he's trying to have a wholesome, you know, like Thursday night in December, make gingerbread houses with his girlfriend, and then all of a sudden, like 30 frat dudes just run him. You fucking pussy!
I wish someone took that and smashed it on his head, on her head.
But dude,
that's what I mean. There's you have a whole lifetime ahead of you.
Yeah.
To make gingerbread houses with the girl you love, and you know what? That's awesome too. When you find someone and you're married or dating, and it's the Christmas season, and you're sharing love, and you make a fucking thing with Home Alone on the TV, and you're drinking hot chocolate, and Christmas music's on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you're like 35, when you're like 50, when you're 18, 19, 20.
Absurd
like,
to us.
Come on.
Bro, I mean, we honestly like saw the pain in his eyes and we're like, oh, we'll leave.
Yeah, that's almost one of those like your real friends would be like, let's respect his privacy right now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you can only yell at somebody for like 3 seconds before they're like, come on, man. If you hit somebody with a come on, man, you're like, all right, this guy's actually in pain.
I remember I was supposed to go to, I think like a Broadway show with the girl I was dating in college. And then it fell on Game 7 of the Yankees-Red Sox, when the Red Sox came all the way back and beat the Yankees. This was like
03, 04.
And but I'm in the Bronx, and it's Yankee fans. I'm a Mets fan. So it was like a big deal, you know, rooting against them. And she was cool. I just flat out was like, I can't do this. I got to watch this baseball game. And then, which is like actually a pretty cool move from the girl, right? And I'm like, all right, the boys can't possibly like clown me for this or whatever. Yeah. And then like afterwards, I'm on the phone. I'm just on the phone with her trying to like, like, well, like, we couldn't hang out tonight, but I'm at least, like, going to call you up.
There you go.
People are like, you're going to fucking wax your legs next, you pussy?
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, I can't. I blew off the plans, and I'm still getting clowned by you guys.
It reminds me of, like, Bill Burr's bit where he says, like, no matter what you do, a guy will find a way to call you a bitch.
Yep.
But it really was that, dude. It's like, this guy's literally trying to have a night with his girlfriend. And who knows what he negotiated. He's like, we'll do gingerbread houses Thursday, but Friday, Friday gets to be with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday night, we're with him, and he's like, oh, you're going to fucking make a gingerbread house, you bitch.
that's got to be a nickname. That's like following him around for life.
Well, he fights for our country now, so.
Oh, well, you know.
Salute.
Shout out to you, gingerbread man.
But that's the thing.
Dude,
there was this guy in my frat when he was pledging the first night. He got so drunk, he shit and threw up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yacked.
Mm-hmm.
So we called him Shaq. Shit and yaks. And I just remember that nickname right now, Shaq.
And it just, I mean,
Shinyaks.
The goal of college in my mind is to, like, not get a nickname. Like,
oh
a bad
my God.
One.
Yeah.
Good. Actually, you know what it is? It's
did
like
you have
the goal of college. No.
People just abbreviated my name. They'd be like T Wall. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. You know,
Shaq. Oh, my God.
The goal is to not have a bad nickname. Because if you're also the dude who has a great nickname because you're the life of the party or, like, the unforgettable guy, that's cool. But
then you're, like, 30 and people are like, Hebrew Hammer. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, people, you got to know when to let go.
Yeah.
You know,
all my college friends are still like, T-Wall, what's up?
Yeah, it's like, come on, we're grown men. You've got children. Like,
yeah, call me
this
legend,
is Uncle
right?
T-Wall. But remember. I feel like you've done a good job of growing up, of like aging appropriately.
Correct. Yeah, I feel like college was a chapter, and then I moved on, and I feel like I look back at that. I'm like, I don't know how I did it. Just wake up at Wednesday and like shotgun a Coors Light.
Just go,
Just for the story.
Yeah.
Just go to class and like nudge somebody. Make you smell that? Yeah, that's those fucking Blue Rockies, baby. Yeah.
I couldn't do even like a tenth of what I used to do. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was a bottomless pit. I was like, I could drink whenever, however, whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, ooh, if I have this, like, third glass
schedule.
Of wine, and it's going
to
be...
Shit, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, went to a bachelor party. It was, like, one of the first bachelor parties I went to, I think, ever. Yeah, ever.
Yeah, you're getting into that time, too.
Yeah, but it was
a lot of bachelor parties,
my, like,
and weddings. Bachelor
it was one of my
weddings.
Best friends. He went to Chico State, and if you know it, it's a really big college school, just like a fucking party school in the middle of nowhere. And it was, like,
in California?
What's that?
In California?
Yeah, it's up in Northern California. It's, like, deep past, like, San Francisco, Sacramento. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, in the middle of the woods, but it's just they just fucking pop off, but... It was a 4-day bender in Austin, Texas, and I was like, "This is a lot."
It was like a week hangover. Yeah. When you wake up the day after and you're like, no, go away. Mm-hmm. You gotta do 24 hours.
Dude, when you get to the 2 day hangovers, it's like,
God.
Well, now this is just impractical. I can't do this anymore.
No.
You know?
Dude, it was like, I was like, this is dope and all, but like,
is it worth it?
Let's hope this relationship lasts.
So this was the most pathetic, really like disheartening moment of my life about 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
Oh, no.
I went on a bachelor party. I'm 36 now. Mm-hmm. So like I'm up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been really drinking and partying for a long time. So forget about like the tolerance. That's definitely out the window. But we went out, we went to Saratoga, we went to the racetrack. So we were like at the races, standing up, watching these, like standing up in like the crowd, kind of just watching the races, and then went to the bar, and then went to another bar. Long story short, we were out drinking, but more importantly, on our feet for like 12 hours. And I had to tap out and go home because like my legs were hurting.
Get the fucking icy hot out.
I went home and one of my boys had a Theragun. That's how you know you're also washed, is when somebody packs a Theragun
for the liquid IV. Party. Yeah. When somebody busts out the liquid IV, you're like,
come on. Yep.
You're a legend, dude.
And I'm sitting there, I was like, this is, I got in the hot tub, the house we rented. But I told my boy who's the bachelor, I'm like, I hate to admit this, I gotta go. I can't, they wanted to go to another bar and, like, keep it moving. And I was like, unless we're sitting down, unless this bar has a bed, bro, like, I literally can't fucking stand
That's
up
so
anymore.
Funny.
I was like, boy, I either gotta, like, train and get back in shape or just admit that ship is gone forever, man.
I mean, it's hard to go zero to, like, 1,000. I was like, I'll, like, drink, like, every once in a while. If I'm not, like, touring and I'm in town, I'm like, all right, I'm down to go out and do something. But to go 4 days straight, I'm talking night, daytime, back and forth. It's a lot on the body, man.
There it is, right? Liquid IV. Bingo, bango.
There it is.
Shit
available
is liquid
today.
Gold, man.
Yep. No, this stuff is great. And, like, dude, they sponsor our podcast, and so they just send me them. But I have so many at my place, and I'll bring them to any, like, event. And people are like, yo,
let me hit that, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's like pulling out gum in, like, third grade. They're like, what the fuck, dog? But, yeah, man,
you get the key in this. It's like, oh, yeah, let me pass that around. Let me go to the bathroom,
I mean, but here's the thing. It's like, there's guys that have done that. There would be guys in my frat that would be like, snorting pre-workout. I'm like, I don't think that's how. There's a better way to get it in the bloodstream.
Yeah.
Obviously, your ass. Get out of the tampon. Soak them. All right. Get the G Fuel fired on up.
We had a guy here. You know Dana Beers, the Zillion Beers guy. Yeah. You know, his career is the Chug Beers. He just casually admitted that he did like four, I think, butt chugs in college.
And dude, that's great. One per year. Dude.
And he was just like, I've done it. And we were like, what?
It's a funny like term, like, oh, butt
the
chug.
Butt chug.
To like actually do it?
He was like, yeah. And I was just like, I don't know, fours. And I was like, and you know who I think is crazier? The dude who does it for you.
Holds it?
Because that guy's got to like
if that
put
guy's
it
not
in
your best
ass.
Man at the wedding, then I don't know what is.
That guy better be like the groom.
That's how they ask
him
to be best man. He's
guy.
Like, will you be my best man? And he holds up one funnel.
I mean, don't you have to put that tube in someone's, you know?
I mean, I guess
like,
it doesn't like
lube
fucking,
it up.
It doesn't
like,
airdrop in there. So I don't know how the fuck. I don't know how it gets in there.
Like that is some intimate shit. That all for like. And then I don't understand once it goes in, doesn't it usually come out?
Well, we'll show
whatever.
You. All right, Kevin, get ready. But then there's like the guy who like knows something. He's like, no, you can actually like take a tampon and soak your
vodka.
Yeah,
the
because,
science
because
of it.
Ass, and you're like, why do you know all this?
Right.
I can't
you know
fit
what
it on
I'm
the Snapple
do?
Lid.
I'm going to fucking drink it through my mouth and let it get into the blood like that.
100%. Yeah, but there's something about the element of doing like, I know pre-workout is supposed to be in a drink, but what if I just took it raw and chased it down? It's all for show. You're just for show. Everything you do in college is for show.
I love when it's like, it gets you drunker faster. Like,
yeah.
How many times have you ever had a problem with the speed with which you got drunk?
Yeah,
you know?
Somebody told me diet soda makes you drunk quicker.
Sure. Maybe. Who knows? But also, there's the occasional night. You know those nights where you're like bulletproof for some reason? You're like 10 beers deep. You're like, I'm just not feeling it. And
sounds
I don't know
like
why.
An Adderall night.
Like otherwise, usually it's like by the time you've had a handful, you start to feel it, and then it's never like this is taking. It's not like an edible. Take an edible, and you're like, it's been 2 hours.
Yeah, if you're just
happening.
Drinking beers all night, then sure. But it's like if you want to get drunk quick, just tell that to the bartender.
Yeah, do some shots, have some liquor.
Shotgun
like, get
a Four Loco.
You don't
get
need
after
to
it. Don't
put it in your eyeballs.
Please don't. Do
were you around for real Four Loco?
Yeah, dude.
Because that's you know people. know Four Loko, but they don't know Four Loko.
In my my parents' old house, to this day, I have an OG Four Loko. Caffeine and all. It's poured into a water bottle. I don't know why I did that, but somewhere it's...
What are you holding on to that for? You
it's like an NFT, occasion. I think. Yeah. I think it'll sell for something. I mean, somebody out there will like... there's no way to test it, but I wish it was... I kept it in the can. It's somewhere in like an Aquafina bottle. It probably melted through or something.
Yeah, that thing's like soaked through the fucking walls that you have.
I gotta find that thing.
The shelves are just ripping apart.
I hit it really well, yeah. Because I got it in high school. I was in high school when those came out. When it was like... I think it's... Junior, maybe, when the OG ones were out?
I was, like, just out of college.
Yeah, and all you needed was one.
One. That's we had a night. It was
get
four
drunk
or five
for
of us.
$2.48.
We had, like, a hangover type night where we, like, had, like, a pledge where it was, like, we cheers. We were, like, you know, like, we had heard about it. We went out. We got them. We were in the Hamptons. It was, like, all right, boys, like, cheers. Let's do it. Like, and it was. It lived up to the hype. We all went our separate ways. Mm-hmm. Like, four or five of us went out. Nobody hung out with each other.
Everyone, really?
We just, like, all paired off. Some people were getting with girls. Some people were hanging out with the bartenders. Some people just made friends on the dance floor or whatever. And then we all woke up the next morning back in the spot, and it was like, how was your night? How was your night? It was awesome. Yeah. It was a weird, fun night where it was like, this all took us on a separate journey, man. It was a fucking wild time. And now it's, I couldn't even... Couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah,
right,
they give me so much social anxiety. If you're like, all right, we're all going to split up. I'm like, no, guys, let's hang out.
Yeah, I was never
the solo guy.
Yeah, not a solo guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like in certain instances, like if it was perfect, I had the perfect buzz at the place I'm comfortable with and whatever, I could get out there and like hit on some chicks or, you know, just ride solo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, you're kind of a fucking wacko.
Yeah, it's just, if I have friends there, I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah.
Because then if you're just the guy solo, you're hitting laps by yourself. Mm-hmm. I have so much like social anxiety, I think that people just watch me do the lap. And like, oh, he struck out. All right.
The lap
500
is funny.
Tonight.
You want to take a lap, bro?
The lap is so funny
the
because...
the funniest things that guys do. And girls probably too, to some extent. I don't know what they do. I feel like girls don't do a lap. I feel like girls go...
They just do the 360.
They're the suckers. We'll go drink
them. They do
the
360. They see who's looking. Yeah. They give them a little one of these.
Yeah.
And they're in.
It's over. It's
so yeah, easy dude. The lap... I mean, it obviously worked for some guys, but like, I don't think the lap ever worked.
No, the lap didn't work. The lap worked for what... The lap for me was... We've been standing in this spot for too long. Yeah. No one's talked to anybody. No one's making any sort of move. It's awkward. We have to at least be mobile.
Yeah.
Not like, let's find out which girl we're going to fuck. You know, let's take over this place. It was like, we've got to just at least switch scenery because this is a pretty sad sight.
It's just got to be funny when girls know exactly what's going on. You see a herd of four dudes just all wearing seersucker shorts and they're like, lap, 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 lap,
lap, lap, lap, lap, lap.
But I think the dude who initiates a lap is always the guy who's like, I'm going to find a chick tonight. Mm-hmm. Y'all can stay back here. I'm hitting a laptop.
The same guys are, you know, always like, oh, chick's there. Like, how many hot chicks? You know,
oh, so, chick's there, yeah.
That guy. I lived with a few dudes out of college who, like, needed to fuck or at least try to fuck. Like, every night there was no, like, let's just go out, have a good time, and like, hopefully you talk to some chicks and really hopefully you get lucky and go home with one.
Mm-hmm.
But the, like, need for it, it was like their fuel. Their, like, will to live was the idea of potentially fucking someone that night. I was never that guy. Probably because I knew I was gonna have enough success. If I had all the game in the world and I was a great looking guy, I'd probably be that way because it's like, well, I can do this every night.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was always like, let's just go out and
it seemed like a lot of work. I'd be more like, I'm gonna stop by 7-Eleven and just get a turkey sandwich and dip it in their nacho cheese. Call it Thursday.
You know,
that's my routine.
That's good. Like, you know that's going to work. That's Old Faithful.
Yeah, that was a low point in me waking up next to a slushy cup from 7-Eleven filled with nacho cheese and not knowing what I dipped in it. But there was like, you know how like when you drink like a Guinness or something, you can see the levels of what went down?
Yes,
the nacho cheese had like three big levels. So I was like, what was I eating out of this?
Maybe nothing. Maybe you were drinking like a Guinness.
But you would see the trail. This was like...
It was just low.
So I must have been dipping something in it with a clean dip. I don't know, but you wake up next to that and you're like, somehow this is worse than getting someone pregnant. I feel like this is kid 4,000 calories and nacho
cheese. Wait, when was that? Because here I am saying I think you've aged appropriately. And
this was senior year.
This
is
in college. Yeah, right? So when you got 21. Out of school, you were at that point like focused on your career?
Yeah, so
like,
I was also making vines in college.
Right.
And I had a few get some numbers, but you know, I was like, it was more so enough for me to be like, oh, shit, this is how the internet works when it's working how you want it to,
yeah,
you know?
The potential that's there.
And I was doing stand-up my, like,
end of like junior year, and then all like senior year, I was like doing like open mics after class and shit. And
Vine is so, I think that you or someone who was in Vine should almost make like a little documentary or something on it.
Yeah. Because
it was so short-lived in the big picture, right? How long did it pop? Like, how long did it really?
3 years.
That's
start
so
to finish,
short
really
when you think
like,
about it.
Because it came out my sophomore year, and then it died. Like by the time I moved to LA,
it was gone.
Yeah, it was like on its way out.
And that was just because of business and shit, right? They like the creator of Vine.
It was
I thought
weird.
It was like you guys wanted more money and the creators of Vines like couldn't fucking
yeah,
do
I think
it
was
something
like that. But I think Twitter owned Vine.
Yes, and then they just got rid of it altogether.
How pissed is Twitter?
Dude, Twitter?
They had TikTok before TikTok.
Twitter was so stupid. Twitter like should have been the most profitable platform in the world.
I do think Vine was starting to die out a little
bit.
Was
it? Okay, so there was... Because so that's also what's interesting is like you guys, it burned hot, bright, and fast.
Yeah.
Because you guys all got in. Some people made a boatload. So a lot of people made at least a name for themselves.
I think he was on its way out, but they just kind of pulled the scab a little early.
Okay, that's interesting.
But yeah, it's got to be interesting to see it be like an original creator of that. And now you're seeing what TikTok is. Because like Vine made Instagram get video.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it.
Yes. Yeah,
but
yeah.
TikTok is so massive that YouTube is trying to do one. That everybody's trying to do like
short,
a
short form, edited videos, edited, reels, all that. Yeah.
Exactly. When 3 years ago, they were trying to do all long content. They're
right.
Like, IGTV, you want your YouTube video to be at least 10 minutes so you can put multiple ads on it. Now YouTube's like, hey, 10 seconds is great.
Right.
Like,
that.
Welcome to my podcast. How's your day? Shitty, get fucked. Goodbye. Like, share, and subscribe. It's like, it just bounces back and forth.
That 6 seconds on Vine was amazing. It's so funny that it was six, because like that extra second than five really kind of makes it.
What the fuck was the logic behind it? I forget what the logic was.
There's a reason why it was six.
Oh, I was getting confused. You know why Twitter is 2 minutes and 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Because that's how many characters I think you can tweet.
Oh, 240. You can do 240. Yeah, because it was one.
It was 140?
It was 140, it's 280. It's 280 that you
something
can
do. Like that.
Yeah, you can do 280 characters now.
Yeah, I forget why Vine was 6 seconds. There's some explanation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brilliant little hook. And it's infuriating at times when you wanted a 7 second and you just weren't allowed to, but that was kind of the game, you know?
But that's kind of how I feel with TikTok. It's like, I shoot my videos for YouTube and they're like maybe like a 4 minute, 5 minute sketch. And I'm like, all right, now I got to butcher everything. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but now I got to make it fit vertically.
You're almost better off trying to just redo it, but that's annoying. You know,
I've thought about having two camera guys on a shoot, one with like a traditional, just like normal camera, and then one guy who just has his Sony turned vertically.
That's not a bad idea.
And then they get the same shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, didn't I already see this sketch, but at a slightly more left angle?
Why can't they make a camera that has like two lenses or something?
They got to be coming out with that.
Yeah,
very
right.
Soon.
I mean, like,
I think there is a
this
Sony
is vertical.
You,
this is horizontal. This is
one of the Sony's when you turn
long.
It. The all the shit turns with it.
Brilliant.
I mean, I was thinking there's like a lens that looks vertical, but I'm that's
They should just put it all in one thing, and it's like boom. This is you got your TikTok, you got your Instagram, you got your YouTube, you got your this, you got your that.
Yeah.
It's a I feel like it's a struggle to keep up with the never ending. I said the one thing I look forward to with death. Is that I don't have to download another fucking app. I don't ever have to get on another social media app.
Because
I started thinking, I'm like, are we just going to keep doing it forever? If there's a new TikTok in a couple years, you got to get that one. And when there's a new this and a new that, next thing you know, you got like 12 apps on your phone.
Depends on what you want to do. Because I know some guys on YouTube that's like, you know, Gus Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Very funny guy. One of my favorite YouTubers. But he just posts on YouTube. He doesn't really...
But like, I kind
of
respect that too.
Right,
where
but
it's
he
just like,
sticks to it. He doesn't, like, the videos are short enough where they're like a 10-second quick-ass video where it could be a short, it could be the vertical, but he just uploads it regular, just horizontal, normal-ass video.
It.
And he goes, this is what my people want. I'm not going to try and appease the algorithm. I'm just going to do what the people who support me already want.
I like that.
But that's a great way to look at it.
I've seen that too. Like, you know, we have multiple shows here and multiple franchises, and it's like, should they all have their own YouTube channel? Should they all be under one channel? Should they all be on playlists? And I understand all that because you do have to like play your cards right, maximize that shit, play the algorithm, all that. But then you see like really successful people and they're like, here's my hour-long stand-up, my 10-second YouTube, TikTok, my jokes over here, my just regular like Instagram post. And it's just all in one spot and it's just like, we fuck with this guy. We really like his shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to watch it. You know? It doesn't it does. And that, but that's if you got a really rock solid good content. You know, you got to play by the rules unless you're fucking awesome.
I mean, people.
But at the end of the day, people
sides.
Watch funny shit. Whether it's this shape, that long, this long, this channel, that channel. It's like just focus on the content and the people
so
who fuck
weird.
With you.
I almost feel like some of these views aren't real. I'm like, I've posted random TikToks that just fucking around that do like 28 million views, and I'm like,
yeah, you get big numbers.
You tell me 28 million people saw this. 28, and then I post a well shot like sketch. Was that?
I was trying to pull it up. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's just me making. It's me reacting to.
You
somebody.
Knew it was you. You could just
no,
hear
no,
that.
No, no, no. Oh. I thought the one that did 28. It's just this guy makes out of a dishwashing glove or a glove, whatever glove. He fills it with water and then he finds a way. If you tie it, it kind of looks like a pussy. And
so send this one over to me.
And I was just like,
interested to see how gross this is.
Yeah, I was just like, and that's it. I was like reacting to it, like, oh, look at this crazy video my dad sent me. And then I was like, oh, I don't think, because I thought I was like just enacting like it was like a hand turkey or something where everyone's supposed to draw in like kindergarten.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, I mean, the internet was like, this is horny does well. Horny does great.
Everybody wants to bonk each other out of their horniness, but they're bonking because they're horny too.
Oh, I know, dude. And it's like
who bonks is the true horny.
And people will like tag me in horny videos. I'm like, you gotta react to this. And I'm like, is this life?
Is that your brand now?
People just send me horny videos.
Bro, I mean, we made our bed with KFC Radio where some people will send really, really like gross shit, and I'm like, all right, whatever. That I understand. You know, we've done like kind of like aggressive vulgar shit before, but then sometimes we'll be like, yo man, like check out this story. You guys got to talk about it on your podcast. And it's like, woman drives off a bridge with an entire family in her minivan, like while she's
like,
texting.
And
it's like,
what? Yeah.
Like, why would we talk about it? Or even, I guess it's a little different when I do One Minute Man now, because I do like talk about the news a little bit, but people are like, 11 Marines died overseas right now. Like,
what
I'm
do you have
talk
to say
about that?
This?
Like, I'm going to talk about Stormy Jenner getting a fucking bus, okay? Thanks, man. Like, I'm gonna talk about Lil Nas X comments on Instagram. I'm doing fucking overseas dead Marine reports.
Well,
you know?
I mean, you pick some like the Marines thing, or like you're driving off a cliff. It's like you're putting yourself up to fail. You're not
Absolutely.
Gonna find a funny angle.
No, unless you're the fucking greatest of all time. You
right.
But I do. So you mentioned earlier, like you were apprehensive about the Barstool comments. I feel like you're pretty open about the fact that like comments and feedback can fucking get to you, and can I feel like the people who say that they don't read them or it doesn't
That's
affect
bullshit.
Them.
Everybody, I don't read comments.
Liars, you know? And it's like, or even when they're like, I don't care. It's like, why wouldn't you? Someone's like really trying to be mean to you. Like that sucks.
That's the thing. It's like, I'm just trying. And people, if they say it's like, this is true hard, this is forced. It's like, yeah, man, I'm going to Barstool's headquarters to be myself and like try and make these people laugh.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I felt obviously when I did this one, I was like, oh, this, I know the flow of the game,
yes.
I understand it, but people just didn't hear laughter because it was in front of my camera guy who's focusing. Am I in focus or not? He's not trying to laugh.
I felt bad. I should have we should have put in like a disclaimer or whatever. But actually, it's more of like a badge of honor because you're the only person so far that I've done a remote one with.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta trust the person doing it, that they're gonna get it, get the game, understand the point, and I knew you were good enough and confident enough to not have us in the room, because I think sometimes people need the laughter or whatever.
It does
but
help.
The way you were like, you know, am I? Like, would you rather be the best looking guy ever? Already am, or like, fucked a porn star, and you were animated, you're moving. It's like you just get it because people just want to see. That's actually, I feel like one of my downfalls is I'm usually just kind of like, I'll give you my opinion, but I'm not like there to fucking put on a show.
Right.
And I think you do a good job of being like, you think so?
Yeah, because I mean, even with Stan about here, it was like, I did a spot at the Stan last night, and it's like, I can feel what jokes hit harder in LA versus out here.
But really?
Just because it's interesting. Like, or certain parts of a joke. Let's say this joke has like three beats to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the stuff that gets harder laughs out here is the opposite in LA. It's like
Very
the shit that gets a bigger laugh is like maybe a little bit of an act out or something. Like I talk about this like drive-thru strip club in Houston that just opened up. And like the part that gets the more laughter out is kind of when I act out like a girl twerking on like a Nissan Altima. And then out here, they're like, okay, all right. But when you talk about
What gets a laugh out here, you think?
It's more so the reality of it. When I was
Could
you imagine going from like tipping her tent, twerking from here to doing that? And it's just like that, and then kind of just like
the girl downplaying it. She's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Like, this used to be a Jiffy Lube. Like, I don't care. Just twerk, you know, like that.
Yeah,
they left them the more real shit about it.
Yes.
So, it's like, you know, every comic knows that, like, act outs don't belong in New York City.
Wow.
Because they're more like, if I have to raise my joke, my voice, it tries like I'm trying to sell a joke.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, we're in a room that holds 50 people. Like, you don't need to yell. I'm right here.
I was going
to
say, I feel like the hallmark of, like, not funny is when the person's yelling. Which, it you depends. Know, the voice gets depends, louder. Man. Well, of course, yeah.
I mean, dude, like,
you can be loud.
A guy like Orny Adams, you know him?
No, I don't.
So funny. But yeah. He literally holds the mic by his waist, and he just yells.
Yeah.
He's been around forever. He used to open for Seinfeld a lot, I think. But also, like, you know, you got Burr, you got Sebastian.
Yeah, people get, like, loud. I'm saying when it's, if you know it's not funny or hitting, yeah. That's when you try to just yell your way through the set or the joke or whatever.
Yeah.
Because somebody's got to be making noise because it ain't going to be the audience, you know? But that's, I think I've learned that very recently, as long as I've been around on this shit, I think just recently I learned, or I came to understand that, like, people from different places are commenting and giving feedback.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've found mostly when I talk to, like, East Coast guys, guests, fans, whatever, they kind of get me and they understand that I'm, like, kind of cynical and skeptical, a little bit of an asshole, but that doesn't mean that I'm like an actual asshole to people.
Mm.
And then I get some, like, you know, maybe a little more laid back, go with the flow, slow motion people in like the Midwest who are like, fuck this guy. He's like this New Yorker who thinks he's a know-it-all or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to remind myself that it's like, yeah, I probably wouldn't like me either if I was in that lifestyle.
I also think about like my friends who comment on shit and I'm like, oh, I just pretend it's like a bunch of those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys who like comment just like on like some hot chick's photo. One of my friends commented.
You got
recently.
Your friends comment on shit?
I just found out one of my friends was like a reply guy, and I was like,
really?
Good. He commented on this, like, and I mean, this girl maybe had like 40,000 followers, so she's definitely seeing this comment.
Yeah.
He wrote, let me get this right, because it's that good. He goes, if your body was a book, I'd read it in Braille. I was like, you ever been so horny you go blind? You have to get hooked on phonics for blind? You gotta read bumps and you're just like, are these tits?
Yo.
No, that's Braille, you dumb bitch.
Dude.
Tit, 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 tit.
Yeah, what, did you talk, like I'm fascinated by the psychology. Like, did he think he was gonna get a reply? Do you think that was gonna work? Or is he just like, yeah, no, I'm just like fucking around and like being
both.
An idiot?
Because if he gets a response, he's like, see, I knew it'd work. But if he doesn't, he's like, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah, it's a.
But
I once had on this show early on, I had like a troll who was really relentless. And I was like, fuck it, you wanna come on? And he's right away was just like, oh, I don't know, I'm sorry, man, I'm a moron.
You put it on the podcast?
Yes.
I mean, that's always. I always think about comments are like people yelling in the woods.
Yeah.
They're like, if they don't like it, it's just somebody yelling in the woods, I don't like this video. But what they don't know is a lot of times you're like by the tree next to them. And you're like,
yes.
Fuck, dude. I live in a treehouse, bro.
Stop fucking
I heard
yelling.
This shit, yeah. man.
But I said to him something like, you know, do you think that you're more fucking stupid or like a fucking weirdo?
Damn.
And he was like, I guess I'm both, man. And I was like, okay then. Like, I thought we were going to have some sort of argument about, like, why he comments on this shit and why he hates me. And he was just like, no, man, I'm just I'm an idiot
like...
who's, like, killing time on the internet. And I was like, well, okay then. I get where you're, I mean, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never do it. But, like,
that sounds
namaste.
Like
have a good one, man.
At the end of Jerry Springer, you know when they ask the questions for
yes.
the people? That's
yes.
what it sounds like. Are you an idiot or are you, I always love that. Dude,
Jerry was an icon, man.
That's my dude. That's the TV I grew up on. That
yes.
Cops and Maury, because my parents would be gone during the summers, and I would just eat hot Cheetos, drink Mountain Dew Voltage, the blue one, the best kind, at like 11 a.m. and I would just watch Jerry Springer. I loved it because their families had problems, and my family was so like wholesome that
mm-hmm.
it was like I would watch that and pretend that that was my dad.
Wow.
Like, fuck yeah, Rick. Beat his ass.
Fuck you, your niece,
wanted,
man.
Dude,
yeah.
I wanted family drama. I was like, Mom, Dad, please, hit him.
You're fucking...
He's a bitch, dude.
You're Stormy, asking for the fucking go on the school
dude,
bus, and Mom and Dad buy you a fucking school bus.
I just think that's the funniest part of Jerry Springer at the very end. Everybody's lined up, and then the crowd just gets to be like, just roast them, right?
One of my like biggest bucket list things would be to go.
I wanted
up to
go. It's in Connecticut.
Yes.
I've thought about it. I like literally, me and my friend in college, of course, that was like a goal. We're like, should we just go to the fucking Jerry Springer show?
Him, and then, you know, what's his name? Steve, I think? Steve Wilkos,
yeah.
The bald security guard for
yeah.
Jerry, got
doesn't
his
he
own,
have his
show.
Own show.
Yes, and he's told us some stories. He came on the podcast just talking about the people he has come through there, and it's
really
like, you know, fucking wild, where he had to subdue people and separate people and like all off camera and shit. That those are shows that really make you feel, you know, better about yourself. Could be worse, unless in your case you were like, I want that.
I know.
I want that white trash life.
Yeah.
You're halfway there eating the Cheetos in the fucking Mountain Dew High Voltage.
Oh, why do you think I was me pre-gaming, dude. I don't know. I just thought it was so funny.
That was like the daytime. I would do like a little wholesome Price is Right. Then you get some People's Court for people arguing. You get Maury for the weird sex stuff. And then at nighttime, I would do like Howard Stern, Wild On E. Did you ever watch those?
Stern, I'm familiar.
Wild On was Brooke Burke just like traveling the country, traveling the world. Yeah, she was just this rocket. You know?
Do you ever watch Spike TV?
Oh, yes.
That was the Joe Rogan show before it's the Joe Rogan show. I mean, it's Spike TV.
You ever watch Slam Ball on Spike?
No. I only watched Mansers.
Was basketball. Mansers.
Mansers is the best show ever. Just dudes being like, is it bad if I fuck too many girls? And everyone's like, no. And you're like, that's the show. Yeah. Cut to a commercial break. The Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Slam Ball was just basketball with trampolines.
Oh, okay. I mean,
motherfuckers were flying. But it was like kind of like basketball mixed with hockey, so you could check and hit people. It's one of the greatest things that ever aired. The greatest sport to like never catch on. But yeah, that was that's why I do think it's important that you were old enough to know that life where like you had to get off on like Maury and enjoy, you know, whatever was on daytime TV and not just want on your fucking fingertips. That distinction is that's what separates you from being like a TikTok punk.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Did you run into the YouTuber like YouTuber kind of like stigma or reputation where people were kind of like, this guy's a douchey YouTuber, like he's just a YouTube bro?
Probably. I think people just see the face and make assumptions. But I get it. It's I mean, one of my biggest videos is about White Claw. And you look at my face and it's like, this guy made a video about White Claw and I had bleached hair. It's like, yeah, people aren't going to like that right off the bat.
Yeah. But it's self-awareness to know that, I think, is important.
Yeah, and I'm also making fun of these people.
Right.
You know?
You're making fun of yourself, you're making fun of the people, you're making fun of the life you live.
Also, I think there's way worse YouTube people out there.
Yeah.
You know, like the people that are like, fake pregnancy scare, babe, get in here for this thumbnail. It's like, that's like the YouTube scum. But I'm just like
trying to make... prank YouTube, like, I run up on this guy and I spit in his face. Dude, what a prank!
I was just talking about that. Like, every YouTuber 5 years ago would do, like, any activity, but it'd be like, blank by blank in the hood. It would be like
you're just
stealing gumballs
people
in the hood. It's just like, this is you're just clickbaiting everybody. You're a piece of shit.
Yep.
Why are you trying to cause a commotion?
Yep. I'm going to find people who are like less fortunate than me and ruin their stuff and bother them during the day.
Exactly.
See what happens.
But that was like, that. Like to me, that's like a shitty YouTuber. That.
Yes.
And then also the people that are like, dude, do you ever see that one video? I think it was a Vine. There's a guy in a hospital and his grandpa's in the bed behind him. And he's doing like a TikTok.
Yes. Yes.
To a Justin Bieber song.
So
don't you give up?
Yes, yes.
That guy's still a creator. So as long as I don't have any videos like that, as long as I'm
that
not at the cemetery
that
being
one
like,
is legendary.
Didn't even I think that's good, but I think those are like what people could define as like a shitty YouTuber. You're clickbaiting people. I'm just trying to be like, hey, I'm not going to be on Saturday Night Live. They don't want me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to make my
own
sketches.
I got to do my own shit, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be out here clickbaiting people.
Like, that's so honorable, respectable, like, should be relatable. But I mean, when you really think about it, though, you and all your contemporaries are still, like, the very first people to do it. In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
like,
I think there were some like, people before me. But,
no doubt.
But definitely.
But like 100 years from now? No, there's not. Right, like in 100 years from now, you are for sure in the first wave. You know what I mean?
What's
if you want to get really granular, you're not. But when people, once YouTuber doesn't have a stigma and it just becomes like, yeah, we don't watch TV as much anymore. We watch our phones and shit and these guys are entertaining.
Yeah.
You will be one of the pioneers of it.
Do you know Ryan Long?
Yes.
I was with him last night at the stand and he was trying to convince me. He's like, if you think about it, Joe Rogan's like a YouTuber. And I was like, all right.
Wait a minute, Ryan.
Well, he posts on YouTube.
Yeah, he uses YouTube. What was his argument?
He was just saying that like Joe Rogan is the biggest podcaster on YouTube before he sold it. He's like, he was the biggest podcaster on YouTube.
So he's a YouTuber.
YouTuber.
I mean, I guess you can't say no to that logic, but again,
right,
but YouTuber has a connotation. It has a stigma.
Yeah, YouTuber is like anybody who like vlogs at like Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Joe Rogan is like, this is a free TV.
You know what it is? The YouTuber is, if you've ever gone, "What's up, guys?" like that first, you know, that that introduction is the YouTuber. And I think that, yeah, there is like this negative connotation, and I feel like sometimes people want to shed it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. This is what the people like.
It's all just merging into one. You know, it's like, but now it's like, I used to just, people would be like, "Oh, I know you from YouTube." But now it's like literally people, it's more so TikTok now. People would be like, "Yo, I know you from TikTok."
Yeah.
And it, like 2 years ago, I was like, "I wouldn't say that too loud." You know?
But now
I'm kind of like, that's the future of all platforms. Everything. TikTok's the biggest thing. So the fact that TikTok is my like, biggest platform, I'm like, fuck it.
Good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What are your numbers over there?
5.3 mil.
That is a big number.
And here
man.
I
you
am,
are
not running
it.
Barstool. Bring me Portnoy!
Dude, that is
kicks
a...
Kicks in the door? Never mind.
That's probably... I mean, how many people do we have with more followers than that? Not many, man. None. Not on this show, at least. I mean, that's very impressive. Are you rich? We talked about this. Have I asked you this yet?
I don't... What's
I
rich?
I think you're rich, right?
What's rich?
You're probably rich. You got like a fucking dope house in California?
Bro, I got a fucking apartment. I live in an apartment.
I run a Rolex.
You're rich.
Not a Rolex.
This ain't a Rolex.
You're rich, bro. You got a Rolex on. You're rich.
Here's the thing, but here's the
you got a car?
This, yeah, I got a car.
What kind of car?
Lambo? I'm just fucking no. I have a 2017 4 Series. Used. Here's the thing. I grew up Jewish and I'm true to my roots. I bought this watch.
That's why you're rich, because you keep that shit stashed away.
I'm like to the core. Like, if I want to do something, for me, I want to purchase something, I have to make up for it immediately. Mm-hmm. I bought this in Hawaii because sales tax are lower. And I was like, let's
fucking go.
And then on top of that, my agent was like, "I got you a virtual college gig somewhere in like Tennessee." And he's like, "Yo, it pays this price. Can you do it?" And I was like, fuck, I'm going to be in Hawaii that trip. And then I go, or I can do this college gig and that'll help pay for a watch.
Yeah.
And so, bada bingo, send it. I'm in Hawaii, 7 hours
setting
difference.
Up your fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like 10 p.m. at night. It's like 3 o'clock for me. I'm a little hammered. They're like, "How are you doing, Trev? Your Wi-Fi's kind of shitty." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm in fucking Waikiki. Shut the hell up." But that's the thing.
That's
is like,
the
if
world
I spend
now,
money,
too.
I have to make that money back immediately.
All right.
No matter what's in the bank.
So
I
that's
have to like
a
mentally,
great work ethic and
mentally
hustle.
I have to.
But you're rich.
What's rich?
What's a great way to describe, to define rich? You definitely don't worry about any of your bills.
Right, but for me, I have so much anxiety that I'm like, I don't know how long YouTube is going to be around.
I feel that.
Am I going to be relevant?
It does feel like you are very in touch with, like, with that. Like, actually, speaking of Rogan, one of the things I really do like about Rogan is I'll see pretty often on his Instagram, he's like, "I am keenly aware that my success is disproportionate to like my talent." He's like, "I'm good at what I do, mm-hmm. but the fact that I made it like this mm-hmm. is fucking crazy." And I acknowledge that.
Right,
so
right,
I get
right.
that. And I think having that understanding is important. But I feel like, you know, you've talked about being like vulnerable and like going to therapy and working through some of the like the internet can weigh on you and it's so like you're in touch with all that.
But I think I'm socially aware. I would never wear this on stage.
Okay.
Because I don't, the second
you just wanted to flex on us. I get it. You wanted to come flex on the porch.
Yeah, well, I'm going to a wedding tonight. It's a Friday wedding. I gotta let these porcs know what's up. Friday at 6? I gotta sit in rush hour traffic.
Let's go.
Oh, should I go to Chase and get fucking cash for this cash bar? Move it to Saturday. But that's the thing. It's like, if I wear this on stage, you know, it's like, you know, there's something about like seeing somebody on stage trying to be relatable to people when you're like, "Yeah, hey, you ever go to a valet and you
yeah,
have hundreds?" And
I
like,
get that. I get that. So you know what? You're rich. Because you get on stage and you tailor your content to make sure you don't seem too rich.
You're rich! Look, I'm rich to a college kid. I'll say that.
Sure. All right.
But yeah. But like,
but I do understand what you're
this
saying.
Shirt,
where it's like,
Pit Viper sent me free shirt. Levi's.
Yep.
Haven't
always
washed
plays.
In a while. Yep. No name socks in Vans. It's like, I'll dress like shit. And then put a Rolex on just to balance it out. Life's all about balance.
It is, man. I do like that. That's a good way to pull off the
But yeah, I hate checking the time with the thing, because every time I check the time, I'm reminded that I bought a Rolex. I'm like, "You dumb bitch.
You reckless motherfucker."
Yeah, you shouldn't have to go, "Fuck," every time you check the time. So, yeah, man, it's I don't know.
Are you single?
I have a girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend? Have you had one for a long time now?
About a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were single for a period of time when you had made it.
Yeah.
Was that like I feel like you got a
it
look
cool.
that girls are
yeah, I mean,
pretty
yeah.
into. I remember some of the girls here when I first said like Trevor Wallace was coming through, they were like, do my makeup, do my hair.
Oh shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I was like, what? He was gonna like propose to you girls here, like right now, like come out of here.
Yeah,
like,
bro, why did you wear the rollie? I mean it's, I don't know, man. I just like I never wanted to, because I would just be after shows and it would just be this different mentality. I'd be in my DMs, I'd be swiping on Bumble, I'd be checking. I would just feel like in a fucking shitty like Sheridan Inn, just being like, who's trying to fuck, who's trying to fuck? And it's just like, I didn't want to worry about that. And I had known the girl for a while and we had been kind of off and on.
The girl you're dating now?
Yeah. So it wasn't like she came in when you're like, oh, this guy's popping. So it's a little bit of that.
That's a very fine line, I feel like. You want to, like, hang out with, hook up with, and shit with people who, like your shit. Or, you know, if they are into you because you're funny or on stage, sure, engage in that. But do you like me for me? Do you not? Like, it's, you know. And then there's the other extreme of people who are like, I don't like, hook up with fans at all. Or like, and then it's like, well, that's kind of weird. They don't know anything about your life on stage.
A lot of, like, shitty, like, one-off dates. And I was just kind of like, it was never, you know, you'd be in... especially Los Angeles, you know, you'd be like 30 minutes into a date and she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to Austin's tomorrow. And you're like, who? She's like, Post Malone. And you're like,
oh God.
Bartender, revolver, please. But I mean, that happened one time and she's hot. So I was just like, hell yeah. I'll go to Austin's with you. I'll drop you off. I don't know, man. I just wanted some.
I got a Rolex. I just wanted
some consistency. I just wanted some, you know, I don't know. I just wanted somebody I could like kind of just have repertoire with and like not be so alone when I'm traveling 30 cities, you know, in like a year and just be like,
man, it sounds like you're just like a normal, nice person.
I
want to
make gingerbread houses at a frat party.
That's what's funny, to bring it all back, man. At the end of the day, you want to make a name for yourself. You want to get your views. You want to make money. You want to fuck chicks. You want to have a successful career. All these opportunities, but kind of at the end of the day, you want to make gingerbread chicks with gingerbread houses with a chick who's good to you.
I also want
to
make.
You don't
want to
do it at a frat
chicks.
Party, but you also want what?
I also want to make gingerbread chicks. Red hair DNA is coming back, baby. So, man, it's just like I do more fun things with a girlfriend. I wouldn't go to Hawaii if I was solo.
You just kind of sit around, right?
You can't take a girl. You're like kind of talking. You're like, want to go to Waikiki?
Right, that is a good point. You travel the world. You go to special places, nicer spots.
Yeah, dude, like, I took a girl that I was like kind of talking to a couple years ago to a wedding just because I needed a plus one. Fucked up, you know? And then she's like, oh, we're
together.
Like, you know, I wasn't really doing anything. I wasn't living a life. I wasn't living a life to even talk about.
Yeah, no,
I think my stand-up's gotten better being in a relationship.
That's it. Yeah. And that's, you know, you go through a period of phase where you just want to, like, get your dick wet. All good. Mm-hmm. But, and if, again, you seem like you just are kind of like a well-adjusted dude with, like, you have, like, an emotional side. You have a sensible side. Yeah. And that kind of leads to, like, well, I can't just, like, forever. Like, I want to do more interesting shit. I think it is really the same way I was saying about college. Don't date a girl, not because of having sex, because of like the freedom that you get. It's kind of the opposite this way, where it's like, yeah, you're not running around and partying and fucking girls, but you now are like, let's go to Waikiki. Let's go do this thing. Yeah. And then you start to live. Then you have more material. Then you have more.
You live a life. And that's how. And that's what ultimately it's like how you relate to an audience. You're like, everybody in the audience for the most part, has a girlfriend, or majority of it is in a relationship, either at the show or at home.
Yep.
And it's like, if I'm up there at 35 being like, what's the crazy, you know, you ever kick a girl out at 3 a.m. because your Postmates is on the way?
No,
this is kind of sad.
Absolutely. Man. It does get to a point where it's like, ooh, that's not cool. You know? But you know what? I also go back and forth between like that relatability versus I always am real. And I'm like, if I get a lot of money, I'm not going to pretend to my audience that I didn't, you know what I mean? Because I'm always like pretty open book. Mm-hmm. Now, if I become a flashy asshole, that's different. But it's like, if I'm up here just trying to pretend like, you know, right now, a lot of times I'm talking about like, I'm overwhelmed with bills. I got kids. I got to pay for this house. I got to pay for school. Like, and that's like part of my, you know, life struggle right now. If now all of a sudden that's gone, I'm not going to pretend that I still have that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't want to lose that relatability. So it is a fine line to dance. And like I said, overall, we're still one of the first waves of people doing this where it's trying to figure out, like,
man, it's
always adapting on the fly, right?
But that's what it is. It's going, when a new app comes out, it's not looking at it and being like, fuck, another new TikTok. It's like, hey, I've been doing this for 10 years. I have a fuck ton of catalog. Let's just start throwing shit up.
I can do this. Yeah,
it's not like you're starting from ground zero. Right. That's what a lot of people think. It's like, that's how I was able to grow on TikTok so quick is I had so many clips on YouTube and I started posting those clips and people were like, oh, this dude's on here now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
I think I got to.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, let's wrap it up. But yeah, I mean, that also kind of just relates back to like what I was saying about you. You got the right mentality to like you age appropriate, like I said, from college through stand up, now to the internet. I mean, you're out and then back to stand up. I mean, you're just killing it left and right, man. So keep pumping those numbers out, and I appreciate the time.
Hell yeah, thank you, man.
Let's wrap it up. Let's go. I gotta go too.
Make sure you rate 5 stars. Make sure you're subscribed and review us. Helps us grow. Helps it thrive. So do your part and make it happen.